part of the investigation is what has gone wrong, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, like you're asking, it's almost like you're asking a disempowering question and expecting an empowering answer.
Right. What's gone wrong and why am I holding back? Those are the questions you're asking, right?
Yeah. Well, those are the questions I ended the evening asking. I started the evening by saying, like, I feel very, I've been feeling a lot of stress and I'm beginning to feel worried because I'm not making progress in my business. You know, my attention has been elsewhere. I have a lot of things on my plate. And I have been giving a lot to my business and it's not producing the kind of result I want. That being said, I have a firm commitment from spring for next year, for next month to do a launch with me with a minimum of 20 participants. Finally, hallelujah, thank God. You know, a $20,000 month. Oh, my gosh. So,
right, yeah, yeah. So I want to, can I stop you there and will you remember what you're going to say?
Yes.
I want to press pause there to kind of interrupt. So now you were not on the call on Thursday, right?
I was not. And that's another thing, like Thursday, I was an hour late for three things. I missed the call, and then I was an hour late for two appointments, so I ended up totally missing them. It's like I was off.
Yeah.
And so, it doesn't happen usually.
Yeah. So, right, and notice your reaction to what I said too, right?
Yeah, I got very defensive and justified.
Right, so
yeah.
So I just was asking about a fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I wasn't,
Right, and then what your response was, not enough. Didn't do something's wrong.
I did it wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
I did it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was your response, right? And there was nothing of that in my energy, right?
Right. Completely came from me.
Don't get me wrong, but my energy was about to determine the fact, and then there was something that happened on the call. So it's factual, right? Something happened on the call that if you were there. Then it would fill in, and if you weren't there, and it was pretty, you know, unless you were listening on the web or something, I would know that, right? So if you were there, then I would kind of shortcut. If you weren't there, I would fill in more background, right? So I was presenting you with a fact, presenting you with a question of fact, and then exactly there's like, somehow I was not enough. I did it wrong. Something must have gone wrong, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing that I was suggesting about the editor and inadequate. So that tells me, because I wasn't sure, because it's sometimes just with one little chunk, it could mean different things, and I need to hear a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, since that tape is playing again, then I would say that whole thing is about, like, you know, why am I holding back and what's gone wrong, right? And
right.
So let me then tell you about that Thursday call, and I think you're going to really, like, I would listen to that call.
Okay.
Because I think that's really going to serve you. And but is it okay if I do a spoiler?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So, and get it too that the content doesn't matter. Like the content of whatever somebody's life is, it could be that, you know, they wanted to wash the floor and they finally washed the floor. It could be that they wanted to stand up and walk and they stepped and walked. The content is a black box. It doesn't matter, okay? Anything else I want to say about that? Just give me a second here. Because there are a couple of them articulating, and there's Yvonne articulated a bit, and then Judy especially. But so here's what, I'll tell you about it, and then you'll hear it. And it might be one of those things. You know how when Yvonne said, oh, man, I'm feeling really inadequate because all these other people are taking a leap, but I haven't taken a leap. Must be something wrong with me. Do you remember that call?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think it was the next week where she had her breakthrough.
Yeah.
And then actually on the call Thursday, she said that's the biggest check she's ever received.
Mm.
It's really freaking beautiful. Okay. And just the week before, it's like something is wrong with me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter what the content is, whatever it is for that person. And so there's a little bit from Yvonne, but then a whole bunch from Judy. And so, I'm far behind on the Facebook page, probably lots of it. I'm sure she posted it on the Facebook page. When I first read her post, I had to read it a couple times to even hear what she was saying.
Yeah.
You know, buried in the post.
Right. She closed all those clients into her private program.
Right.
Three clients. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And so the upshot is what happened on the call is we were doing many, many things, but the piece that I'm drawing your attention to, and I want you to actually go and hear it, the piece that that I want to draw out from that call, it was a really, really, really good call. And I like it. But so three clients, far higher ticket than she's ever done before, much, you know, better clients, right, at that level.
Right.
And
right.
So she had her, and it took a while to pull it out of her. You'll hear it on the call. But that was her first $40,000 week, which exceeds her annual income for every year for life except one.
Wow.
And then what she said is, I don't see anything to celebrate, more or less.
Wow.
Yeah.
That gave me shivers on my whole body.
Right. Which is exactly what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
That's why the shivers. And it happens really, really easily, strangely enough. As you just said, you know, that with springs, that's a $20,000 month, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you
next
said?
Month. Next month, that's what it will be, yes.
Right. So you have landed yourself a $20,000 month.
Yeah.
Let me see. If I do the math, that would be almost, you know, if you, and again, once we do it once, it takes some time to sort out the kinks and so on, but when we've done it once, this is such a deep teaching of Lisa's, right, that I learned there, and I've learned it elsewhere, but we know how to do it now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that is the foundation for the thing. You do the math, and, oh, I don't know, that's like $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And right at that point, you're saying, what's gone wrong? Why am I holding back? What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has happened so much. People to talk to about this, because it's happened most recently to them. Let me see. Well, Bonnie and Judy, right?
Yeah, okay.
I would be on connection calls with them.
Okay.
And again, it just like we all take turns with it, but it's happened on enough scale for them. And I would talk to them about it, and because it seems easier, so much easier to see it in somebody else.
Right.
Like you can look at Judy and go, what? But the shivers in your body, that's recognition.
Mm. Mm.
And what Bonnie was about to do after the diamond treatment has been on different calls, the last one or the one before, and whole bunch deep dive of the diamond retreat, but what she said too is that after her first $36,000 month, I mean, there have been such fabulous wins in our community.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the size of our community and the size of the Sassy community, and the Sassy community is flipping phenomenal, and the number of the per capita wins, right?
Right. Are amazing.
I mean, it's freaking
awesome. That's
awesome.
Staggering. Yeah. Yeah.
Staggering. Right.
Yeah.
And so if we turn to, say, like what happened with Bonnie is her first $36,000 a month, and then what she was going to do is, having done that, she's going to go back and do it the way she did it before.
Right, yeah, I remember that very clearly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it would not have happened a different way if she had not been at the Diamond Retreat, because everything in her wanted her to do it like that, go back.
Mm. What's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't had no clue that she was doing that. Took some, you know, good investigation and diving in until she went like, holy shit. I could tell you the things she shared them on the call. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember her sharing them, yeah. Michelle, I think there's something coming up for me is, yes, the what's wrong with me is the question that I feel percolating, and I, for the first time, I this vision of me as this $15 million business owner and taking active steps where I actually decided to move forward with working with Sassy and working with Andrea Lee. And they worked out this amazing payment plan to allow me to ramp up, which was so unbelievably generous. And I just feel humbled. And also, it's so like, I saw with her, we were on a call together. We mapped out my $1 million year for next year.
Yeah.
Like literally mapped it out. I don't know why it's making me cry, but I don't feel like I'm worthy.
Yeah.
And I look at this and I think, how it's everything that I ever wanted, and it makes me feel like, oh, I'm so selfish and greedy and all these horribly negative things that I thought I have made so much progress. It's like that editor came back with a vengeance, and I'm asking this disempowering question at the verge of this beautiful precipice this beautiful leap that is going to be, I can't even describe the level of joy that I was feeling. And this past week, since I said yes, since I made that payment, the first payment, the down payment, I've been wrecked with self-doubt. Not like yeah. Will I or won't I do it, actually, because I'm firmly convinced I will. It's almost that, how do you be that person? I'm sure you hear it.
And then can you tell me what they're doing for you? Can you share that with me?
Yeah, I think it's I don't know if it's confidential. I don't think so, but they did a $2,500 down payment, and then my first payment is $2,500, and then they split the remainder of the balance over the course of 8 months from that point forward.
Okay, and for what program?
For the Platinum Elite.
So you're doing Platinum Elite with Andrew J. Lee, got it.
Yeah. So instead of having to come up with $5,000, which I quite frankly couldn't, not without putting myself in severe financial distress, this is what she had worked out and got approved. So that, you know, this month I have the $2,500 I can commit to it. Next month I will definitely have it. And if I make the balance, you know, there are certain things that I told her this. I said there are certain things I want to take care of. One of which, and I know this isn't a debt I owe you, but I want to take care of you too. You know, you've been so generous in having me in your community. You deserve to be paid for your work, and that was an agreement that we had when I achieved the things that I finally needed to achieve, and I had abundance here, that I was going to, you know, make sure that you were paid for your work, for my year with you. It's been the most beautiful gift, and I want to honor it. So I also wanted to be careful not to overcommit without making space for other things that I personally have already committed to. And so that's where we talked about, what is the vision for the year? What do you have coming up? How is it going to grow? Where do you want this to go? And we talked, how do I get to $20,000 a month with consistency? You know,
right.
Next month I have a $20,000 month set up. How do I make that happen in December? How do I make it a $50,000 month, and then a $60,000, and then an $80,000? You know, we didn't talk nuts and bolts yet. Like, we haven't gotten down that far, but we chunked out, like, okay, the next quarter is going to be spent doing this, and then the next phase is going to be spent doing this, and then the next phase. And it just felt, for the first time, it wasn't like some hope or dream. It's concrete reality.
Yeah.
With what I've already made. I don't even have to make anything more.
Yeah.
I had to tweak what I make, reshape it, maybe remarket it. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But I'm totally sufficient as is to generate $1 million in revenue in a year, doing exactly what I've always dreamed of doing, which is getting my program out into the hands of hundreds and hundreds of home professional dealers. It's what I want to do. And it feels so authentic, Michelle. It feels so like, this is what I want to do. And at this very moment, I'm completely wracked with doubt and feeling like I'm failing.
Yeah. So, you know, one piece that helps me, that's a kind of, how do I say this? You know, when I'm planning for an event, for instance, and I do this in, if you've done Event Profit Secrets, I can't remember if you have that in your background or not.
I have it, but I haven't gone through it.
Yeah, okay. So what you want to do is, you know, you project. This is kind of the rational side of things, right? You project, like, okay, well, here's, you know, what I want for the event, right? And
right.
I have every expectation that this will happen. And then Blue was really great. Like, the couple times that I did the event, I did EPS live 3 times, I think it was, I lost track.
Wow.
I dove in a lot. And so Blue with his, you know, Sage, from Sage, did some great teaching about kind of like risk management, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I don't usually speak in these kinds of terms, but
yeah.
I think this may be part of what will help you right now. So,
okay.
And certainly, so it's kind of like, well, I want this to happen, but whenever you're doing the event, you want to, you envision big, but then also in your room block, for instance, right? In your room block, you go, well, you know, I'm planning to have, you know, whatever it is. Let's say you plan to have 100 people at the event or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can you get the room block down so that, well, you know, if the worst case scenario happens and it's like, oh, you know, 5 people show up, well, you know, kind of what am I in for so I can manage my risks, right?
Right. Okay.
Again, I don't
yeah.
usually, this isn't usually my, my take in, but I
yeah.
think this might be the thing that is taking your breath away, right?
Okay.
So, for instance, let me give you an example of, like, what Joseph and I are doing with this event. So, as we were starting mm-hmm. out, I was saying to both Joseph and Kara, okay, well, let's figure out, and then we, you know, we almost got stuck there. One discussion, I'm the one who raised it. It's like, okay, well, you know, what are our? We know that we're going to negotiate with this hotel and get, you know, better rates. We know that some people are going to be coming. We know all these things are going to happen. But let's say none of them happened. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
let's say
what's our worst case?
The hotel doesn't budge. We,
yeah.
we have a room block, and they hold us to every single room, and we'll, you know, there's always attrition, but they hold us
right.
to that. Then, you know, 0 people show up, and I don't know what else happens, right? Right, but so,
right.
you know,
right.
well, what are we in for? And, you know,
right.
very approximately, not counting any extras whatsoever, it's not getting anything else for anybody else. It's like, well, you know, maybe, you know, roughly like $5,000 a piece, right? And so then
right.
I said to Joseph, because I like the mathematical side of my brain, the part of me that went into engineering, the part of me that had all of my what all the students were going to read all year long, and all the assignments would hand it to them the first day of the class for a full year
mm-hmm.
class. It's like this reading that thing like a complete outline.
Right.
So that system's part of me. It's not usually the part of the side of me that you see, but that's there too, right?
Right.
Says okay, well, what again? What are the risks? And it costs us if we don't have any extras, you know, $5,000 a piece or so. And I'm like, okay, well. So that we can just let that aside so we can just get to what we're doing, you know, how you feel about that risk. How do you feel about it, Joseph? And I'm like, listen, I would spend $5,000 to study with you in a second. Are you freaking kidding me?
Right.
Like, they have a 3-day holiday with Joseph? I would pay
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Right? And he's
yeah.
like, are you freaking kidding me? I'd do the same for you. Of course. So then
mm-hmm.
once that risk is, this goes with the editor piece of what we do, right? Once that risk has been kind of internally managed, so like let's say everything blows up and it's like multiple systems failures, right? It's maybe it's my dad was in airworthiness. It's like, why do planes crash and what happens in that black box? Right?
Multiple systems failures. Yes, okay,
yeah.
I get it. My
okay.
dad, was an airline mechanic too, so he ran
exactly.
safety, mechanical safety.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
yes,
so
okay.
it's part of me that comes from my dad, you know? So multiple
yeah,
system failures and everything blows up. It can't possibly happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing,
yeah.
Joseph has a room there, you have a room there, I have a room there, and you're coming, you're on our team. And, you know, like that
yeah.
happens, like, way early on, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, and Kara needs a room, too. It's like all these things, right? So it's like, well,
right.
we've already got a bunch of the rooms covered. And they wouldn't hold us to that anyway. No hotel ever does, but we're trying to give an exaggerated worst-case scenario, right?
Sure.
It doesn't
sure.
add in
yeah.
any add-ons, but we don't have to add in any add-ons if we don't want to. right?
Right.
We could fly right. everybody in a helicopter if we wanted to and add that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, right, right.
So
right.
then once we can live with that, then everything else is gravy. And then we're not scared anymore.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's that piece in you that's scared. Because, and so I like the kind of worst-case scenario because if you can't make friends with their worst-case scenario, it feels like you're always running away from it. This does have to do with running toward the lion's roar.
Mm.
Right? Am I coming from love or fear? It's a different route in than I've probably ever taken before on the Thursday morning calls, but it is a part of me too.
Yeah.
And then the run toward the lion's roar. So, you know,
well, I actually did this worst case scenario work with Andrea. Like, what do I need? Like, given this, even with this payment plan, like, what do I have to absolutely make happen in order to survive my life and pay these, like, my obligations? It's I need $10,000 a month. That's
right.
What I need.
And then does she know, because I know that there's people that are, you know, outstanding that I know. Again, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not concern on my part, but I know it's you are amazing. It's going to be inside you, right?
Yeah, and that was a big, we actually spent about 20 minutes of our call on that.
Yeah, because there's Satori, there's me. I don't know if there's others that are outstanding. I don't know the size of those bills, right?
Yeah, I have some credit card debt too. And I mean, just to pay the minimums and to keep myself floating, I need to make, I mean, that would be paying, you know, $1,000 to $500 to you and to Satori on a monthly basis. Because one of the things that I told Andrea was that if I'm committing to Safi, then I need to make an equivalent commitment to the people with whom I've already committed. You know, like that's something that I in my own integrity. That's where I need to be in integrity.
Yeah.
And so I told her, you know, it's a $10,000 to keep afloat and to make those minimums. And that's putting no cushion between me and the brink. And my goal is to have a 6-month cushion between me and the brink. So if I want to be putting cushion between me and the brink and paying those debts down more quickly, it should be a $15,000 to $20,000 a month every month.
Right. Okay. So and that isn't even how do I say this? So that's the goal. That's different from, like, in the worst-case scenario with Joseph. And, again, it sounds like, well, don't go there because it'll be scary. But it's
it's
running from it all the time, right? We're running from it all the time. So if you just look at it, could you do it in financial area? Could you do it in relationship area? It's like, okay, but let me go over to there for a minute. It's like, okay, Shelley's dead, you know?
Right.
Well, what's the worst that could happen? You know, after death, like, it sounds kind of funny. It's like, well, yeah, I always expect I'm somebody who, I just, it's how I'm built. I'll be in a relationship sometime. Well, what if that never happened? Well, I'm really, really happy with my own company. Okay, well, what else could happen that's bad? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this is the thing that is, like, to just go there, right? And so, you know, what else could happen? Well, I will forget what it was to be with Shelley. I will forget, you know, well, then I do these 100 talks, I'm remembering, and I'm writing so much, and my beautiful daughter, I love her so much, we're close, like, you know, as I go to, like, to go to the fear, go to the, whatever the fear might be, right? And so what you've gone to is the goal. And so let's say, you know, like in the worst case scenario, well, let's say you brought in zero.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you own, and again, I'm going in a very rational way, but sometimes the rational way can help because it's what's running inside anyway. So let's draw it to the surface.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Because if otherwise, I'm always going to be running from that.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me you own a house, right? Or you have right? So I don't know how much of it you own. Do you own any piece of it, or does the bank own it all?
The bank owns it, and I'm actually in the process of short selling it. So, I mean, I own a car. Worst case scenario, I could sell my car.
Yeah.
I own some pieces of art that I could sell. They wouldn't be big pieces, but it would, I could probably sell things on eBay or sell things, a very expensive couple of pieces of jewelry that I could sell. Like, I'm not destitute. There are avenues, and honestly, if I really boil it down to what my actual life needs, if I set all creditors, all obligations aside, I need $1,200 to live, and that includes run my business. That includes my office and my business costs. If I just said just my own personal life, me,
yeah,
I need like $500. That's my monthly expenses, $500. That's it.
Right.
That's all I need to make.
Yeah. And then go to, sometimes we need to go to the unthinkable too, because I know that it's like, God, I just can't do it. But I've done many things I just couldn't do, because that's what we do. Like, when we're entrepreneurs, it's like, we'll just do what it takes.
Yeah.
Right? And I know Maribel, for instance, and she was mostly off the campus by the time you're on the campus. She was there at the beginning part, right?
Yeah.
So I heard this, I think, on a it was on somebody's podcast, so it's out there publicly, and you know, I don't think she mentioned it on the Sassy community, but I can't even remember whether she declared bankruptcy or almost did, right? And this was not that many years ago, right? Now she's doing great. Now she's very close to her seven-figure business, right?
Right.
And I can't remember. I think maybe she did declare bankruptcy. I can't remember. Anyway, not that many years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, and it happens so much. You listen to Teachers of the Secret. You listen to people on Peak Potential stages. It's like, it happens. Like, we just do whatever it takes, right? And then, and sometimes it's like the unthinkable. So I know that, and again, I'm going to these places so that you can get some breath, right?
Your
parents also, I mean, God, it's horrible to ask, right? But I think your parents, they're not poor, they're not broke. Am I right?
No, they're not. They have Social Security and retirement.
Okay. So in this, it's the last thing you would want to do, and I don't know, probably you have friends or relations or whatever, right? But even just what I've heard about, you know, God, you would hate to do that. But so you need to ask for support. And this is like total worst-case scenario where everything, just like, just like I asked Joseph that let's do that so we don't run away from it, right?
Yeah.
So, say you sell some stuff. Say you, God forbid, that you have to ask your parents for some help or somebody else. And that's if you do nothing, like nothing happens that works, that you want to work out. Well, would you survive that? Would you be able?
Well, I already did. I did this year. I can't imagine how I wouldn't be able to do. I'd be really embarrassed.
Right. That's often the thing, right? We're more afraid of embarrassment than anything else, right?
Yeah, but I would be okay. I've been okay. We were on the call when. You know, I was crying, saying it felt like I would be easier to be dead because I couldn't even buy diapers.
Yeah.
That was not that long ago.
Right. Did you survive?
Yeah, just fine.
Yeah. So could you survive again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. When you can make friends with that, then who cares whatever the hell else happens?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like the small self going, oh, my God, the worst might happen, because I'm not up for it, Well, let's say I'm not up for it. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
In the, being able to stand in that, that is big self reemerging. The ability, because most people can't stand in that.
Mm-hmm.
They quit instead.
And I feel this. But what if I am up for it?
What if you what?
But what if I am up for it? But what if I soar?
Exactly.
But what if I soar?
Then that's the other side of it, right? Because of the fear on that side too, right?
That's where I'm getting chills. But what if I soar? Because I realized on this really crazy level that, you know, I'm reading this book Worthy. Trish recommended it to me, Trish Ellis, and I've been reading it. And the thing that I didn't realize that I was doing is I keep repeating my parents' financial life.
Right.
And what if I swore that I won't be like them anymore?
Absolutely.
It was like this underneath belief that I had that in order for them to love me, in order for me to feel like part of the family, I have to stay broke.
Yeah. I still get it. This is part of Peak Potential training, Million Intensive. Yeah. So I took it three times, brought my daughter, brought my mom, brought everybody who would listen.
Anyone who listens. That's how I feel. I'm like, anyone who wants to read that book or who talks to me at all, I'm like, read this book. I like feel like I should just keep it on hand and just hand it out. It's so it's been very helpful. But that was a deep learning for me, that I realized that, you know, I'm afraid that if I become really wealthy, I'm going to mismanage my money and I'm going to lose it like they did.
Right. And then it goes right back to that same worst-case scenario, right?
Yeah. Then what?
So let's say he is. Then what? Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't have anything else for.
And yeah, then they'll be like Maribel, and I don't know, it's pretty good company. I think she's flipping amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And from an Abraham Hicks perspective, like, you know, ask, they're UBS, right? Very simple. They only teach three things. We ask, and we ask in conscious and unconscious ways, right? So, goodness, we should have recorded this anyway.
I did.
You're recording it now?
I have a recording, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay, so ask, so their first step is ask, and we're asking in conscious and unconscious ways. Like when we're broke, we're asking for more money. When we're mean to somebody, we ask for ourselves to be less mean. When somebody's mean to us, we ask for them to be less mean. Like we're just always kind of, you know, consciously and unconsciously asking by the nature of our lives. As soon as we ask, it's given. The universe hands it to us. All of our work in their system, and I agree with it, I believe that's how the universe is to receive. But we're blocking it at every turn and turning all kinds of ways. There's all kinds of resistance. When we stop blocking it, you know, if things all flow to us.
Mm.
And so what was the piece I wanted to tell you about that? I can't remember what I want to tell you about that, but what I wanted to go back to is that that fear that I'll mismanage my money. Well, let's say that I did. Well, then I'd end up just back at that worst-case scenario that we just talked about. Oh, well. So I sell some art, so I, you know, have to ask embarrassing questions. So I, well, that's just part of then growing my big self to be able to be the one who is resilient enough to do whatever it takes.
Yeah. And then part of it also is, what if I don't? What if I just am really super successful and I see it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the opposite fear, right? And we need to go to both of those sides, right? What the fear of the failure and the fear of the success, because they're kind of, they're just like flip sides of the same coin.
Yeah, and it's almost at this point, the fear of the failure, I have, I've come to pretty, you and I, we've come to terms with that a lot. Like, that was you really helped me with that. You know, I was crying about the end of the world, and we had the conversation about the people who did go bankrupt, and you just give it your all, and this is just what you do. Like, you have a big mission out there, and you want to do it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to do whatever it takes, and this is part of that. And so I feel like that moment of the fear of failure isn't as much what's holding me back right in this moment. It's what if I soar?
Yeah.
What if my parachute opens?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, for me, I first did the Millionaire Mind Intensive in 2008. Very, you know, big kind of deep processes that they take you through. And when we were listing our fears, my fear then, the fear of success, that's much deeper in me than the other one, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's like, who will I need to become then? And
and
all that stuff.
How
too,
do I see that person?
Yeah, different from my parents or whatever it is. And to bump into those, like to look at those, and then like once you say them out loud, so I make a lot of money, and so like they're so ridiculous, and yet they have these deep, you know, claws in us, right?
Yeah.
I make a lot of money, so they won't like me anymore. I'll make a lot of money, and maybe I'll, I don't know, fly them on a special trip to Hawaii, and they're really going to suck.
You're
lying to them, really, right?
I'll buy them a second house, and they'll super hate that.
Yeah. And they're going to go, God, what have we done wrong with her?
That's so true. How could she have turned out like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the part that I have this weird little story running in my head, this little mini belief that
I'm going to become someone different when I become wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's just, I mean, saying it out loud actually makes me laugh. That's so stupid. I wasn't someone different when I was making a lot of money before. I was more of all of myself.
That's exactly, I was going to say, you know, but actually it's true. I was more. I will be more.
Yeah, I'll be
like
able
I'll
to
recognize
do more
parts of myself, and not that I'm less now. It's just like I will see more of who I am, who I actually am, who I am right now. But it's sometimes clouded over because I forget. But it's not any different than who I am now. It's just that I will be able to see more, like we do in the community as we start to unpack the different layers of who that person is, and we can see them shining, and they can see themselves shining more, and we see it over and over again, right? So, I'll stand for, be in all of who I am more, and so they probably won't like me anymore. I mean, there's some basis for the fear, too, because sometimes it presses people's buttons if they're not standing in all of who they am, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of who they are.
Yeah.
It can press somebody's buttons. It's like, I know that I have that inside me, and I didn't activate that, but how do I say this? So then the alternative is, I'll just stay small to make sure that I don't harm them. How's that work out? Right? I'll work to have a really authentic relationship with them by staying small.
By not being the person I'm meant to become.
Yeah, let's see how that trajectory is going to go.
Yeah, and it was actually my mom who's the one earlier this year had an opportunity to take a job, a good job. And she's the one who's like, Maddie, why would you give up on your dreams? You're so cool.
Yeah.
We'll help you. We'll help you. We believe in you. You can do this. This is you. You know, this is what they want from me.
Yeah.
They couldn't be happier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, what if I soar?
Yeah.
It's just, wow. How do I be that person?
You know? What if it's just freaking fun?
I think it's going to be, and it takes my breath away because I haven't done it yet. I'm like, oh, shit. I feel like, if my feet are glued to the ground, I want to take my shoes off.
And here's the thing, you know what? When you said you haven't done it yet, that's the piece right back to, where you were saying it at the beginning. What's gone wrong? Why am I holding back? Unworthy, unworthy, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for sharing, editor.
Yeah.
Right? Because it happens. It's listen to what Judy says and know that that's you right in this moment. Right? Or the beginning of the call, you're not there anymore. Right? But they come and go. You'll remember, you'll forget.
It's
right there, Judy's going, well, there's nothing really to celebrate. Like, it's so astounding, right? But usually people don't get to that part of the conversation because it's so buried in that nobody brings it to the surface, so then it just does its work. And then then the next success doesn't come, or then it's devalued, or something blows up, or whatever it is. It's that Gay Hendricks, The Big Leap. It's like we've got our thermostat set at a certain level of happiness and success. We don't think we deserve more, and so we'll make sure we sabotage it so that, right? But we can bring that old story to the surface.
You know what I almost asked? I almost asked as something that popped up inside of me, the biggest thing that wanted to be said when you were talking about that.
What?
How do I make sure I can? What do I, that, this is the exact words that were spoken inside of me. What do I need to do to make sure I turn my thermometer up? What more do I need to do? How am I not doing enough to make sure that that's not going to happen?
Right.
It was exactly those words that they came to my head. Bam.
Yeah, exactly. What am I not doing? Right?
Yeah. What more do I need to do right now?
To
make sure to prevent that. And I think that's just that what we came to, I don't remember, it was a one-on-one call you and I had in the beginning of the summer. And I was walking around outside, I remember very, very vividly. We were talking about the things around wealth, that it was around lifestyle contribution, who I need to become.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And then the aha moment from that call was, I am being the person who I need to become.
Exactly.
And I think that's what this with Andrea. This is, I am being the person. I am being her. I don't need to become, I am becoming and being her in every moment, in every learning, in every learning how to receive. What you said on the call one time about how when you're clutching something to yourself, it was about Raga and Devasia.
Yeah.
When you're clutching at your chest, how can you receive? Because your arms are blocking it. Let it go.
Yeah.
And it was in the Letting Go series, and it just, I have, like, oh my gosh, that just, I can't even begin to tell you how profoundly that changed my perspective on receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And just receiving and being. And I think I just needed to be reminded. I needed a mirror. And yeah, I am. I don't need to do anything more.
Exactly. That's a very good thing at the beginning of this call. Because
yeah.
The tape that was playing is not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. And again, it gets disguised. It comes in the back door. It comes in the side window. It comes in. You're like, geez, that again, you know? But
yeah.
But for each level, though, as we go up, it's a new blowing out of, not blowing out. Well, it is kind of like blowing into that level of that thermostat, right? So then it's not like we're, you know, oh, that again. Oh, I haven't made any progress or something like that. That's the same old story, same old story. No, it's that at this new level, I'm now recalibrating here.
Yeah.
Right?
This is I had a connection call with Myrna on Friday, and she told me about experiences at the Diamond Retreat, which was very cool. Very cool.
Okay.
And that was one of those moments of, you know, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, and you know, being in your big self and, you know, just really beautiful things, some really deep learnings there. And one of the pieces during our call, I just lost my train of thought.
I was talking about recalibration.
One of the pieces that I said to her, I said, I feel that once that I'm back and gathering the energy right now.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of activity happening, but there is massive activity happening. Not a lot of outward activity, because this is going to be, like, I'm starting my 2017 in November. I just made the decision. I'm starting my 2017 in November.
Yeah.
I just chose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I am, because I want to have 500 people in my program in 2017, and I'm going to get it kick-started with 20 in November, or 30,
yeah.
or 40, or who knows.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel this deep, I've so wanted to get 10 private clients this year, this November, like October, which is my goal, and I've been pushing to
yeah.
get there. And I think I just need to let that go.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I watch you, and there's both the, you know, the mastermind with Joseph and then our community, right? There's a lot of doing that you're doing. It just feels like there has been a lot of doing. And what's that?
There has been. You're right.
It feels like, absolutely. And, you know, Jennifer and I have been having so much fun together and watching her journey. I mean, she's had some fabulous stuff. You know, her event was magnificent. And it really started with our trip to Mexico because
she also
that was, you know, unprecedented for her. And I taught it to her and then she's teaching it back to me and we keep passing this back and forth to each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, wow, there's so many big things happening. So what I need to schedule into my calendar, I need to schedule a whole lot of fun because I'm ready for some really big, you know, opening.
Yeah.
This month. And so have you been scheduling in the fun, you know?
No.
like the ease and the joy and, you know, and that's for me too, as I was looking at my calendar going, oh, wow, my first day just for myself after Shelley died, the first one came in August, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness, right? Wow. So I really, and it was late August, I think. No, September. It was late.
Wow.
And so had to really, it wasn't that I hadn't done some good things, lots of good things, but eat, you know, extreme self-care and the fun of it and... Where's that piece? So so that because otherwise it's somewhere in there is raga, somewhere in there is holding on, somewhere in there is I have to struggle to get this done, I have to work hard to survive, I have to you know, hang on to this, otherwise that tightly holding, right?
Yeah, if I don't do this, then I can't be worthy. I have to do it
right.
To prove that I'm worthy of what I'm going to get.
Yeah, so all the activity almost is, it's not necessarily, and it doesn't mean that the activity doesn't do stuff, but it's not really functional activity, even if it's really good stuff that, you know, you're making these phone calls or whatever it is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's what I was calling churn.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like your feet are moving real, real fast. You're actually not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because that's not the feet movement that's going to get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, well, I have, yeah, again, if only I do enough of it, then maybe I will finally be worthy. And it's like, I'm going to earn my worthiness, and you can't really earn your worthiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that it just, it's something that will churn more and more and more and more. Because if I have to earn my worthiness, well, I'll never find the worthiness that way.
Yeah.
So that means I have to work doubly hard to try to get there. And then as I work doubly hard, it takes me doubly further away from it.
Yeah.
Instead of just knowing that I am already that.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what has happened. That is, I think, exactly what has happened, that I somehow lost sight of I'm already that.
Yeah.
And what have I got to do?
Yeah. And, you know, there's an interesting piece that happened to me. Goodness, it was just yesterday. I was on a call with somebody that it had been possible that we would end up working together, but it didn't work that way. And how much is shifting in my own life and, you know, who I'm working with and what I want, because this person was saying, oh, they were working with somebody who is, blind and deaf and dumb and couldn't feel and different things. And then a different part of the conversation said, reflecting so much of what's in me. And there was both deep consciousness in that person, and it felt like it also this unconsciousness of a blindness that was reflected. Do you know what I'm saying? And that when that blindness was being reflected, like I don't want to work with somebody that's blinded. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like I want them to do some preliminary work, because the more background that people have, the more I can help them. I know some really amazing subtle tweaks to change things. And so sometimes it's like a moving target sounds like a war. I don't mean that. It's like things get rearranged in the process of big leaps. That's what I'm trying to say. And
recalibration.
Recalibration, as that recalibration is happening. So it's kind of like not a Ferris wheel. It's like it's more like a roller coaster, and I don't mean that life is a roller coaster. I'm not trying to, you know, make that to be our lives, but there are moments of roller coasterness in our lives or something like that, right?
Sure.
Or more like a kaleidoscope where the part of the pattern is falling, but it's because a new pattern is coming into being. Maybe
that is beautiful. I don't know if you've used that one before, but wow. That's
yeah, that's
so powerful.
Really, and at that moment, it looks like it's really falling apart. Not
it's
a new pattern.
Yeah,
and the new pattern can't come unless there's these like pieces that seem to be falling, right? So yeah, something more like that. I think that's the right metaphor. And so, so in those times, it feels kind of chaotic, but it's to stand in that space of the quantum leap, and you just took a big leap with Andrea J. Lee. That's big. And she's magnificent. I just adore her. So, you know, you're in great hands. And and so, you know, if nothing goes wrong at the worst case scenario end, that you've been there, you've faced those dragons or whatever, right? You've faced the lion's roar.
Mm-hmm.
And over here on the success side, it's like, well, they're really going to hate me when I fly them to Hawaii, you know? I don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then remember that it doesn't take it's not striving to be worthy. It's more like, well, how much fun can I create? Because that person who is I don't want to say at that level, because that sounds like above us, I don't mean that, but who's open to more, who is more aware of all the beautiful parts that are already in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that person's having more and more and more fun. What kind of capacity for joy do I have? What kind of capacity for fun do I have? And how am I expanding that now?
Mm.
That's where I need to be.
Yeah. It's so interesting. The last big call that we had like this was when I decided to, you know, do my elegant move of, you know, I'm just going to go to California and I'm going to teach these classes. I'm going to ask Springs, and it turned into my first $10,000 private client. Like, so cool. And I'm going back out to California right after Vegas with you to do a one-day workshop for them. And what if I could just spend the rest of the time having fun?
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely.
I have friends. I have family. Why don't I just spend my Monday just planning all the fun I'm going to have?
Yeah, because that's what's needed for this next level, right?
Yeah.
Joseph and I are having a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fun. How's it going to turn alternate? I have no idea, but it's joyful along the way, you know?
Yeah.
And to be in the process of creation, to be in the place of molding the clay, to be in the place of, I don't know what this is, even this is exactly that I'm creating, but I am in the joy of it. I can taste it, and look who I get to play with along the route, and not some destination that I'm trying to land on, and I might land there or not, but what's it feel like now?
Yeah. It's the whole, why can't I have the life that I want to have in the future right now? It's why I'm doing a renovation in my basement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love the love and support of my family. And I can spend $1,500 and make a renovation in my basement.
Yeah.
And have a beautiful space that feels inspiring, that feels uplifting, that feels like me. And I don't need to go and spend rent every month for it.
Yeah.
No, I can do this. This is, and what a gift too. I'm redoing the whole basement. Okay? You know, like, okay? You know, it's taking my time.
Win, right?
Yeah, it's taking my time. You know, it cost me a couple $100 in paint. Big deal. You know, like, it's not, it's like, it's just, it's, it, what if it could just be easy? What if it could just be fun?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be so regimented and hard and so serious. And I just feel like other people want it to be a thing a certain way. And then I feel pressure because of that. And then I end up going backwards because I'm resisting.
Yeah. And when you can go to the two opposite ends, you know, what other people from the outside might look, because I don't really use those terms, but sometimes I do if I'm playing with the editor. Absolute, utter, abject failure. It's not ever that, but, you know,
yeah,
from the
it
eyes
feels like
of
that.
The editor,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
absolute, utter, incredible, outrageous, soaring success. If I can go to those two ends and stand there and be in that, anything else in between is going to be fine.
Yeah. I can now.
Yeah.
There's no internal voice, and there's no unsettling feeling. There's no worry. There's no stress about the standing in the work, the failure side. I'm like, yeah, I got that. That's okay. I could even the worst of the worst of the worst, the worst case scenario, I would still be fine. It's going to be fine no matter what.
And listen to you. And I so believe that. Look at that resilience. That's the diaper resilience.
Yes, it is.
Look at the beauty that's built in you, right? It was
it
always
has.
In you, but
It let it come out.
Yeah.
And also what it taught me, too, is not only how resilient, but how passionate and how much I love my mission in this world and how committed I am to it and how, like, it's just all those things. And also, when someone else is in that space, it will let me let them be there.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise, you can't.
Yeah.
If you won't let yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's a beautiful gift, and the piece that standing in the soaring still feels like butterflies and man, remember the first time that you felt Dana kick in your belly?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
That is what it feels like inside of my heart.
Wow, it's so beautiful, right?
It's beautiful, but also like, what the fuck is that?
What is
right?
that thing?
That's
what is that? Oh, what is that? I feel like there's literally a butterfly inside of my lower pubic region right now. That's weird. I was like, this is beautiful and weird. And that's how it feels when I think about soaring.
Yeah. Because it's new ground and it's new experience. And so, and also, you know what it is? It's death of the ego. That's why those opposite ends are all, there's always ego there, right? And ego, I mean, we need ego. We can't just, you know, we can't, it can serve us too. But if I think I am this thing that I am, this like snapshot picture of who I am right now, and I label myself as that, and that's who I think I am, then when that gets dismantled, it's like that kaleidoscope going into a different pattern. If I think I'm the pattern rather than knowing I'm the kaleidoscope itself sort of thing, then as the pattern dissolves, it's like, oh, my God, the world is shaking apart, and I have to put it back quickly. Just, that's like Bonnie going back to what she did before. I have to put it back quickly because everything's falling apart. It's really strange how that happens, even with something really, really beautiful. But instead, if I can let the pieces fall, and I know that I'm the kaleidoscope, I'm not, you know, and then the patterns move through me so that I don't have to be so scared as it's coming into a new pattern, and I can just enjoy the beauty of the ride.
On the kaleidoscope.
Then I can actually enjoy the pattern instead of Raga hanging on to it. It's like, oh my God, I think I feel one of the little pieces falling. It's like, oh, no, hang on.
The sky is falling. The sky is buckling.
Exactly.
News everyone. The sky is currently falling.
Yes. And this is, like, everything we do is holographic. Everything is connected to everything else. This is a year-long journey. And for many, it's kind of like, oh, I didn't really get that the first time around. I'm experiencing it the second time because now I understand how it fits in, right? But it's like the piece that we do at the end of the fourth call in the Loving Kindness series on Notice Beauty. Because it's like when it's, what the fuck is that? As I'm off on this new adventure, and the thing that I'd be afraid of, the fear of the unknown, becomes... What beautiful, but what if we think about the kaleidoscope, what beautiful pattern is emerging now? Oh, I think I see something beautiful. Something else is emerging. And because the unknown is always this new, the future is always this new shape when we let it be instead of trying to recreate the old over and over and over again. So it's a new shape. And as it's coming into being, I notice its beauty. I'm not so afraid of stepping into that new place.
Yeah. Yes.
You're in a beautiful place, my friend, and it's really exciting. And it's, again, you with Andrew J. Lee walking beside you, I just think the world of her. I think she's amazing.
Thank you.
And instead of asking the question of you know, what's gone wrong? What am I doing wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't ask that question because like now it even sounds strange, right?
Sounds like a weird question.
Kind of a strange thing to ask, right? That becomes a strange thing.
Yeah.
That itself becomes a strange thing. And instead it's like, wow, I think it's time to celebrate. The Inspired Action Blueprint, a couple of key pieces that people forget, gathering the energy. You know, it's like, don't skip this step, don't skip this step, don't skip this step, right?
Yeah.
Remember this step, but don't skip, and then we hear the skip part. No, remember this step, right? And then the celebration. And then go and listen to that recording with Judy, because it's like, you can go like, what the fuck, right?
I need to remember the celebration, because, you know, I forgot.
Yeah.
On Friday, I had a new manufacturing partner who I've been working with all year to try and land, or for many months now, tell me that, oh, by the way, I just got a huge promotion. I'm building a new team. I've kind of been keeping you, you know, we keep talking back and forth because I knew this was coming, but it wasn't formal. And your program is an exact fit for what we need. And we're going to have a meeting when you go to your friend's wedding in Dallas, and we'll make sense the next year. And we want 10 of my best people in your program next year. I forgot.
That's fantastic.
A little $100,000 win there. You know, Christy is so, I mean, Michelle, it's like, you know what it is? It's that I've been counting my success on dollars. And when I look at, it's the whole, like, exactly the conversation we have. When I look at my bank account, it doesn't feel the way it feels. Because it's coming.
you know, it's coming. And it's like trusting. Just trusting and not forcing it, not working so hard, not pushing for it. Just trusting and being and doing the things that I love and the things that give me joy. And don't worry about the rest. That's not where I'm going to focus my energy. No, not going to do that. I'm not going to focus my energy there. And just letting the things I love, playing with the people I love to play with, talking with the people I love to talk to, that's where my joy is going to come. That's where the success is going to come.
Yeah, and but I want you to notice even the subtlety in your language. Like, that's where my joy is going to come back. And when you say it is coming, it's still placing those things in the future. Yes, you know, better vibration, right, in what you're saying in the beginning of this call, but it still has the vestiges of what was happening at the beginning of the call.
Yeah.
Because it's still saying it's
not here yet.
Right? And it's coming.
That is where my joy is. I have to, when I'm having those calls, I am totally joyful, 100% in the moment.
Yeah, and here's the thing, like, it's coming. It's already here, and you're just watching it unfold. You're just enjoying the journey of it unfolding, but it's already here.
That's beautiful. That is how my joy unfolds. Oh, what an empowering way to say that. Wow.
It's already here.
New words.
It's already
here. Those are going
to
be new words.
It's coming. Not it's coming, because then it's always coming. When what each tomorrow is coming. It's honestly, if I just hang in there long enough, because it's not, you know, the words weren't as dark as that, but I'm bringing out their darker side so it can easily be seen, right?
Yeah.
It's coming. It's almost here. It's not here yet, but it's coming. It's coming. I just have to do enough so then it'll finally come, because it's not here really right now, but it's going to come. No. It's already here.
It's
Sonia is a great one to connect with it, over this, too, because that 10K sale and the call where she had it was just magnificent. It was months ago now, but, you know, you wouldn't have been able to tell that, in quotes, you know, from the outside world perspective, nothing had happened yet, because it was during our call that 10K, first 10K, you know, month, first 10K, landing of that contract or whatever, you know, came in. And so it's already here. It's energetically built in Abraham language. It's like in the vortex. It's already in the vortex. That's not future. It's like everything happens already energetically first, and then it's just the fun of the ride. So that's knowledge and certainty, not hoping and expecting.
I love that. It's already here.
And then it's just unfolding. Then you're just watching, oh, it transpired, you know, in this way and not this path, right? It's kind of like, I don't know.
The kaleidoscope is perfect. Like, instead of, like, having an expectation of what the next picture is going to be looking like and then get disappointed, like, it's just a beautiful picture, and you know it's beautiful. It's beautiful every single time. And as the pieces fall and turn, just watch with curiosity and excitement, and you know it's going to be beautiful. You know it's going to be all complete. And
yeah,
it's already here.
Exactly.
The pieces are already falling. It's already happening.
Yes, exactly. And then I don't have to go, well, yeah, I wonder if the pattern will be created this time or not. But that's kind of what we do in our lives often, right? No. It's just let's watch the joy of it unfolding. And then I'm going to go over to the relationship space for a minute. That I know that, for me, for instance, that love and relationship is deeply, deeply part of my life. But so then I didn't expect this version of its unfolding.
Right.
And it's beautiful in this version of its unfolding. So it's like I don't need to know all the steps along the way to what is, that the certainty of love and beauty and joy and connection in my life, that's always there and always unfolding in deeper and deeper ways. And what the path is, I can even say that today. Like, it's actually interesting to me, which sounds really dead, you know, weird. Shelley's dead, right?
Right.
Sounds really weird, but no, it's interesting to me. It's magnificent. It's beautiful. And so watching how it unfolds and, you know, we could be blown away by the beauty and unexpectedness of it. And however it transpires, is this deep resilience, because it doesn't have to be this way or that way. I can't misstep. It's impossible to misstep.
Mm.
It's already here.
Yeah.
This is like, I wonder if it's this path or that path. I'm curious, but I don't need to know. Oh, look, it's a step over here. Oh, look at the purple flower. That would be a red flower, but look, it's a field of purple ones. That's so cool. And then more on the right side, that I was expecting on the left. That's really neat. Oh, and look, here's a tree. Look how big it is. Look at the shade that it gives. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm standing partly in the shade and partly in the light. As I look up, I haven't seen how blue the sky is today.
Mm-hmm.
Another step. Another breath. I already know where that it's already there, so then I can stop and enjoy.
Yeah. It's not future.
No,
I love that. It's not future. It's just present. I just love it.
Yeah.
Oh, so it makes me so happy and excited.
So much more fun.
Future.
I'm just curious about how it unfolds, because that's the only thing that's unknown. And when I have a practice of noticing beauty, then I'm going to see the beauty of it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And from the call Thursday, I'm open to having the wind at my back, open to having the universe on my side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be unfold with ease. So stop and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or run and enjoy it. I don't have to stop. I can do whatever I want. There's such freedom.
Yeah. I wrote in a little email today to someone that they had not informed me of something, and they were apologizing because they thought I'd be disappointed. And I said, you know what? I just totally okay. I said, I firmly believe that everything happens for a reason and that the universe conspires to give me my highest level of success. So I'm not worried about it. Don't worry about it. When it happens, it's going to be beautiful. It's okay that it didn't happen right now.
And you said when it happens, and it's okay that it didn't happen right now. A little bit of the old story there, but also a new story emerging, right?
That's what I wrote this morning to her.
Yeah.
But even the energy of like, it's okay. Like.
Yes, exactly.
So that it's inside,
it,
you know.
That piece is beautiful.
It's inside of me now. And the piece that, the reason that was so cool that this was my own way of saying I wasn't doing anything wrong. Like,
yeah.
I was looking for what am I doing wrong. It was already in me. I've already owned it. It's not future. It doesn't need to happen. It already has. And now I have this new language around. It's unfolding. And it's not future. It's happening now.
Exactly.
It's unfolding. How my joy is unfolding. Beautiful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I'm going to go thinking of, you know, my evening is unfolding with my beautiful daughter.
Yes, yes.
To her. And then let's end this. Rhea has an inspired action, because this is like, I can hear the energy of where you are, this beautiful place you're at. You know it, right? I mean, it would be
dangerous
if I said, you know, well, how are you feeling now? Because I can
see
in everything you're saying.
Yeah, I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm just in a place of joy. Three ahas.
Evidence, yeah. It's evidence. And that itself could be the first one, so it'll be four ahas. I mean,
okay.
It's a beautiful
I'm in a place of joy. Smiling ear to ear, my cheeks are actually starting to hurt. So that's a good smile. A long, good smile. Build in fun.
What was that, sorry?
That's an action item. So, but that was an aha. Building in fun. You know, aha.
Building in fun.
Let it just be fun. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't have to work so hard. When I'm not working hard, that's when it happens. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Remembering.
Our only rule in the community, there isn't really a rule, but just guideline. Whenever we're not having fun, we're not doing it right.
Right.
Oh,
right. Building fun.
To recall that.
Yeah.
Come back to that. Yeah.
Building fun.
I guess that's number two.
Two? Yeah, number three it's not the present. I mean, it's not a future thing. It's in the present. It's unfolding, the unfoldingness of it all. It's already happening. It's going to happen. It's already happening. It's in the present. It's in the vortex. It's here.
So much more fun, right?
yes, that makes me so happy.
I'm not waiting for anything. I'm no longer, I was waiting.
Exactly.
And I was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, my gosh, no wonder I felt a sense of impending doom.
I don't need to wait for anything. There's no shoe. Like, just stop.
That another aha here just was how you opened the call was an aha for me that what if this is just the editor?
Yeah.
What if this is your editor saying you got to do more?
Mm-hmm. There is
my editor,
you know, profound.
Yeah, my
some profound wisdom, you know.
That's actually the shape that my editor takes. This is the aha. The shape that my editor often takes is self-doubt masquerading as insight.
Exactly. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
That is my editor.
That's brilliant.
That is
yes.
how my editor sneaks in.
That is brilliant. Yes, exactly. Beautiful. Beautifully summarized. Yeah.
So that's a major aha. So that's three ahas. my inspired action is going to be on Monday to schedule in fun for California. To schedule in fun. Mm-hmm. Make as many phone calls as I can tomorrow and Monday to schedule in fun.
Perfect. Beautiful. Beautiful, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow. I'll share this recording with you. I'll email it to you that you have it. And you can use it however you choose. I share it, use it, post it in our forum, anything you want. This was so beautiful.
Perfect.
I'd be happy to share it anywhere.
Thank you so much. Tell you what, will you send it to myself and to Emily and ask her to post it in the forum?
Yes.
I could have posted in under resources. If you could do that for me, resources for call number one in the opening series.
Yes.
And you will know where that goes.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, or actually not as resources, just let me see, no, because people won't find it there. Let's post it as just ask her to post it in the forum and, put in a section, put it, call with Madeline. Good enough.
Okay, I will. I'll do it right now.
Thank you so much, my friend. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. It was lovely. Thank you. Enjoy your time with Dana.
Good talk to you. And
all right,
you too. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.